The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Boy, do I have an important message for all of you who are involved in Facebook. An important lesson. I'll share that with you in just a moment, I promise. But first, we're just talking about Danny Glover and some of the liberals that are demanding reparations. Well, Danny Glover was not the only person testifying before this House Committee on Reparations. Also yesterday, former NFL player Burgess Owens also testified. And his testimony was quite different from Danny Glover. Yeah, Burgess Owens said, yeah, maybe reparations are a good idea. But if reparations are paid, it should be paid by the Democratic Party. No, he honestly did this. He gave this testimony before a House committee yesterday. He pointed out that the Democratic Party was the party of slavery, the KKK, Jim Crow. They are the party that has supported killing over 40% of black babies, 20 million of them, and that's a quote. He said, quote, the state of California, 75% of our black boys can't pass a standard reading and writing test. That's a Democratic state. So, yes, let's pay restitution. How about a Democratic Party pay for all the misery brought to my race and those after that we learn our history? Who decides to stay here that they should pay also? Then he said, look at this panel. Doesn't matter how we think, doesn't matter our color. We have become successful in this country like no other because of this great opportunity to live the American dream. Let's not steal that from our kids by telling them they can't do it. Isn't that incredible? Burgess Owens, former NFL player. Is that okay? We do reparations. Let's have the Democrats pay. All right, now, I often hand out warnings about social media. I encourage you to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, to become a friend on Facebook. I think it'll be advantageous to you. I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll be educated. I think you'll be inspired. And I will continue to encourage you to become our friend on Facebook and on Twitter. But, folks, think before you post. Think before you post things. Here's the headline from NPR today. 72 Philadelphia police officers placed on desk duty over offensive social media post. 72. Some of them are going to receive punishment. Others are going to be fired. They have been placed on administrative duty following an investigation into inflammatory social media posts. Let's see. I got something marked here a few pages back. It doesn't tell what they are. Some of them were racial in terms or in focus. Others were just insensitive. Some of them were trying to incite violence. And some of them were just dumb things. 72 Philadelphia police officers, the most number of Philadelphia police officers ever put on administrative leave or fired at one time. Now, can we just learn some lessons? Okay? Can we learn some lessons? Number one, never post something you would not say in front of a very large crowd. Every single time you post something on Facebook, imagine that you are standing in front of a massive auditorium filled with people. And you want every single person there to hear what you're about to say. Because that's exactly what happens on social media.
You say, well, Bob, I've only got 32 friends.
If you say something really inflammatory, that can be shared and shared and shared. Have you ever heard the term viral? Before you post something on Facebook, assume what you say is going to go viral and thousands of people are going to read it. Now, if that's fine, if you don't care that thousands of people that you know, people you don't know, people you like, people you don't like, if that's okay, then post it. Which is point number two. Think before you post. Think before you post. You know, it's unlike, you know, writing a letter. You write a letter, you got the envelope out, you're ready to fold it, and then you go, I don't know. And you erase, you know, you erase a little bit. You post a few words on Facebook or on Twitter, you hit send or post or whatever, it is gone. Well, you can delete it, yeah, but not before people see it. Here's the next principle. Never defend yourself. Don't get on Twitter or on Facebook and defend yourself. This is something I learned in ministry. It never pays to defend yourself. It really doesn't. Well, but you don't know what they said about me. I can almost guarantee you that if you try to defend yourself, you will come out the bad guy. It's the way it almost always happens. But I can't just allow... Well, don't defend yourself. And then here's the final one. Never discuss family issues on Facebook. I cannot believe what I read. A wife talking about her husband. A husband talking about his wife. A brother talking about his sister. A sister talking about her brother. Somebody talking about a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, a father, a grandfather. Don't ever discuss family issues. Now, if you're saying something nice about a family member and you're talking about a family gathering, wonderful. Post it. Hey, we had a great time. My wife is the most wonderful person in the world. I post that kind of stuff because it's true. I love to post wonderful, positive things about my wife. And I try to often. I like to build her up. I like to say positive things about her on Facebook and in public. But you know what? If we had a big fight, and I can't even remember the last time we did. It's been years, and I mean that seriously. It's been years since we've had a big fight. We're too old to fight. Because before we can fight, we forget what we're fighting about. But anyway, if we had a big knockdown, drag-out fight, it would be absolutely dumb for me with a capital D to go on Facebook and say things about my wife. And yeah, I see that stuff all the time. I see it all the time. And sometimes it's kind of veiled. You know that they're attacking somebody. And if you know them at all, you know who they're attacking. Don't do that. Don't use social media. Make that private. I mean, make it private. 72 police officers are learning the hard way. What you post on social media will be public. It will be public. Just be careful. Be cautious. Now, again, almost every day, I encourage you to become a part of our social media family because there's just so much junk and garbage and just plain nonsense on social media. I think our Bob Burney Live Facebook page and Twitter feed is like an oasis in a desert of junk and garbage. And you're going to learn a lot. You can make comments. And like I said, you can get in debates with other listeners. Just be kind and considerate. But Ask these 72 Philadelphia police officers how wise it is to post negative, inflammatory, racist things on social media. Wow. All right, we're going to take the last break of the hour. When we come back, we know a little more today about the spirituality of Abraham Lincoln than we did. Fascinating article. Stay tuned.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
This is a cool story. I love this. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield, Illinois, has a brand new acquisition. It is one of five Bibles known to have been owned by Abraham Lincoln. Only five. There are five Bibles in existence that are had to have been known to have been owned by Abraham Lincoln. This Bible was just recently presented to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. It was presented to him on June 16, 1864. It was during a trip to Philadelphia. He traveled to Philadelphia to raise money for wounded soldiers. He went to the Citizens Volunteer Hospital in Philadelphia, and there he personally donated 48 signed copies of the Emancipation Proclamation. And those copies of the Emancipation Proclamation were then sold for fundraising. As a result of his fundraising efforts and his kindness to the hospital gave him an 18-pound gilded, gold-gilded Bible decorated with the words faith, hope, and charity. The cover of the Bible reads, presented to Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, by the ladies of the Citizens Volunteer Hospital of Philadelphia. After the president's assassination, his widow, Mary Lincoln, gave the Bible to a neighbor by the name the Reverend Noyes W. Minor. N-O-Y-E-S, Noyes W. Minor. He was a Baptist minister. And by the way, he was one of the participants, one of the ministers at Abraham Lincoln's funeral. He read from the book of Job at the president's funeral. On the back of the Bible, there is an inscription, Mrs. Abraham Lincoln to N.W. Minor, D.D., October 15th, 1872. So it was presented to the president in 1864. It was later given to the pastor neighbor in 1872. It has been in the Minor family through all of these years. The descendants of the original pastor Minor decided that it would be best on display in a museum and was presented recently to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. Now, the fascinating thing are the personal notes inscribed in the Bible by the hand of Abraham Lincoln. In other words, he actually read this Bible. Abraham Lincoln is a fascinating subject concerning Christianity. As a young man, Abraham Lincoln was known as the village atheist. He was. He was known as the village atheist. He was a loud and proud atheist as a young man. I've read a couple of biographies of Lincoln, and it's my opinion, and I am about as far from a Lincoln expert as you would ever find. My mother was actually an Abraham Lincoln expert. It's a long, involved story, but if you remember most of you are not old enough to remember the quiz show, $64,000 question, I think it was. My mother actually trained to go on that TV program, and her area of, you could choose an area of expertise that you studied, and hers was Abraham Lincoln. My mother was an absolute expert on Abraham Lincoln. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. In reading some authoritative biographies of Lincoln, I do not believe Abraham Lincoln became a Christian until after he was elected, and I believe that he was converted to Christ sometime around the Gettysburg Address. The stress of the war drove him to his knees and drove him to Christ. I believe that when Abraham Lincoln was first elected president, he was not a Christian. He was not a believer. I really believe that. But by the time he was assassinated, I believe that Abraham Lincoln had become a very strong, strong believer in Christ. In his second inaugural address, he gave one of the most explicitly religious speeches ever given by a president. Something happened after his first election to president. And again, I think sometime around the Gettysburg Address, when he gave the Gettysburg Address, he became a Christian and became a fervent follower of Jesus Christ. If you read that second inaugural address, I don't think there can be any mistake. If you read his Thanksgiving proclamation in 63, the famous Thanksgiving proclamation, it is decidedly and distinctively Christian. So Abraham Lincoln's Bible, five of them, it's either five or six, I think five, in existence, has just been donated to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. And evidently the notes that he wrote in the Bible are further indication that he was a man not just of faith, but he was a man of the Christian faith. You're not going to read that in public school history. Hey, I am so grateful that you have joined me today. Thank you. Now, this coming Sunday, Joy and I will be at Walnut Creek Baptist Church in Baltimore, Ohio. Not Baltimore, Maryland. No. Baltimore, Ohio, Walnut Creek Baptist Church. We will be there this coming Sunday morning. If you don't have a good Bible-believing church, drive on over. Walnut Creek Baptist Church in Baltimore will be there Sunday morning. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. But wherever you go and whatever you do, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Listen. Think. Think. Discern. Discern.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.